2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. But such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. But he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this portion of Scripture, Lord, and we are blessed just to read it together. And Lord, we ask your Holy Spirit that you would take the truths that we will discover, that we will unveil, that we will focus upon in the next few minutes, and you'll take those truths and you'll just fasten them, Lord, to our hearts, put them in our minds, Lord, make them a part of who we are, of what we are for you. And I would ask, Lord, that you take the word of God, may it go out powerfully. Lord, I don't know all of the needs. I always, Lord, always every Sunday pray, dear God, and ask, please, that you would bring the gospel and the realization of eternity to someone who may be lost here today. And Lord, for Christians who perhaps are facing, Lord, some of the battles that come with just living this life, I would pray that you would lift up, Lord, their weary arms and their weary hands. And Lord, strengthen them in all areas of their life, Lord, for the task ahead, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to say a word about this, and it may not seem connected, but I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. I've been blessed to serve here in our church, to serve with military men. And when I mean serve, I mean serve the Lord. I did not join the military. I was approached about that subject when we did our last Operation Think of That trip by a veteran that I was thanking, and I said, well, I joined a different army when I was 17 years of age, and I'm still enlisted and active. And he said, which army would that be? And I said, the army of the Lord. I've been a preacher. And he stuck his hand out and said, that's good enough for me. Amen. But I when I mean serve, I mean serve the Lord together. I'm glad we have veterans in our church. I'm glad that many of our men have that experience. I'm glad they have that training in their background. There's an understanding of some things that come with that training. That for the most part, I'm just going to say this, not totally, but for the most part is largely lacking in the civilian ranks of our country. These men and women that have served in the military, they understand duty. They understand the importance of teamwork and the chain of command. They understand the need for personal discipline. They tend to have little patience with pettiness and prissiness or pathetic excuses. And I'll be honest with you, I kind of like that. So I've been blessed to serve with here in our church with some military men. I've been blessed to minister to military men. I thank God for our Operation Think of That ministry. One of the blessings it has been to me personally, it's allowed me to spend some time with soldiers. It's helped me. I've learned many things from these young men and women, and I have been challenged by their sacrificial choices. I appreciate their patriotism, their patient service, and their personal commitment. It takes all three of those things to be a good soldier. We've been blessed to see soldiers saved in this ministry, by the way, our Operation Think of It ministry. I was thinking about this time last year. We had a door open rather quickly, an opportunity really within days that we had to kind of muster the ranks and get folks in our Operation Think of It ministry to be involved in. But our governor, Mitch Daniels, opened up the Lucas Oil Stadium, the new stadium, and invited every single National Guard member in the state of Indiana who had served overseas to come. Every single unit showed up there. And he just wanted to have a special time of thankfulness and honoring these men and women. And literally, just almost days, 2 or 3 days before it was started, we got a phone call from them inviting our Operation Think of It ministry to come in to set up a table and to be part of the program. And folks, I mean, there wasn't a handful of civilian ministries that were afforded that opportunity, and we were one of them. Because of that, we were able to man the doors where these soldiers came in to the stadium. We were able to man the doors, and I'm serious when I say this. I'm not sure that we missed but a handful of the soldiers that came there that day that we did not hand a copy of Grace Will Lead Me Home, reach out, shake their hands, and thank them for over 5,000 copies were given out in that one time, that one opportunity. It was about a week later, me and my wife had snuck away and were at a preaching conference in Oklahoma, kind of getting our gas tanks filled back up. And I got a call on my cell phone. Craig Klein had gotten from our Operation Think of It website, one of the men that had taken that pamphlet had called or logged in on the website and asked for information, asked to talk to somebody. He gave me that information, and I made contact with this man in the motel room after the preaching service one Sunday morning. I got back, went to the motel room, picked up the phone, called this man. And he had a lot of questions, about a 45-minute conversation. At the end of that conversation, one of the sweetest prayers I've ever heard in my life from an old veteran, old Vietnam veteran, that just wanted to be saved. And so I'm thankful for what we've been able to see through that ministry. I've been blessed to serve with military men here in our church, to minister to them, and I've been blessed to have friends that are currently serving in the armed forces. I have many preacher friends who are veterans. Let me say this. Properly trained soldiers make good Christians. And let me say this. Every properly trained Christian is in essence a soldier. I'm going to say that again. Properly trained soldiers make good Christians. And every properly trained Christian is in essence a soldier. Say, preacher, does the Bible back up that? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be, what? A soldier. Now, there's some sayings amongst soldiers. Most of them we can't repeat from the platform, but there are a few sayings amongst soldiers. And one of them I'm going to give you this morning. I've heard many soldiers make this comment. Whatever does not kill you makes you stronger. Have you ever heard that before? You ever heard a military person say that? Whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Now, embedded in that saying, that soldier saying, is an understanding of the necessity. I said the necessity of hardship. The necessity of hardship. An acceptance of trials and challenges as a part of a well-rounded life. They accept that. I want you to write down three words somewhere in the margin of your Bible, somewhere near 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. We're going to look at those verses this morning. I want to give you, and I'm going to tweak their saying a little bit. I'm going to probably line it up a little bit more with the Bible. But I want to give you something this morning. Here's the three words I want you to walk away with this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10. Somewhere in the margin of your Bible, write down these three words. Stronger, smarter, sweeter. Stronger, smarter, sweeter. Now, soldiers say, whatever does not kill you makes you stronger. And I think that has the potential of being true, but the Bible adds to that. It adds to that. First of all, let me just give you the summary thoughts of these three words. First of all, trials are sent into your life to make you stronger. But you must let them make you stronger. Trials are sent to make you stronger, but you must let them make you stronger. Number two, trials are sent to make you smarter. But you must let them make you smarter. Number three, trials are sent to make you sweeter. But you must, again, let them make you sweeter. So trials are sent to make you stronger, but you must let them make you stronger. Trials are sent to make you smarter, but you must let them make you smarter. Trials are sent to make you sweeter, but you must let them make you sweeter. All right, preacher, let's get into the verses and let's see where this is actually taught in the Word of God. Let's look again at verse number 9. Notice what Paul says concerning this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan sent to buffet him, this physical trial, this physical ailment that he faced. He says in verse number 9, and he said unto me, by the way, verse number 8, the Bible tells us he besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from him. That means three very specific times Paul went to the very throne of grace and petitioned God and asked him to remove this thorn in the flesh. At the third visit, he got an answer. Verse number 9 tells us what that answer was. And he, speaking of the Lord, said unto me, talking about Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Stronger, smarter, sweeter. Stronger, smarter, sweeter. Brother Jerry, the Lord sent me a trial, or allowed me to go through a trial. What's going on? He wants you to come out stronger, smarter, and sweeter. Brother Jerry, I've had a physical setback. What's going on? God wants you to come out stronger, smarter, and sweeter. Preacher, I'm looking at a financial setback in my life. Stronger, smarter, and sweeter. Let me support these three with the scriptures here. This, of course, is not talking about physical strength. Let's look, number one, at stronger, but it's talking about spiritual strength. You notice what God said to Paul? He said, for my strength, the Lord said this, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul then says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he says this, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Look up here and listen to me. God is much more interested in developing my spiritual strength than he is in catering to my physical health. I'm going to say it again. We need to hear this. God is much more interested in developing my spiritual strength than he is to caretaking my physical health. Now, that doesn't mean that God's not interested in your physical health. But the honest truth is, he's much more prone to trade for a while a little bit of your physical health in hopes that your spiritual strength will increase. You see, God's much more interested in perfecting my spiritual strength than he is in me having perfect physical strength. Now, that's not the way I look at it. I'll be honest with you, whenever I have a physical setback or a physical illness or an ailment or a problem, I'm like Paul. I want to rush to the throne of grace. I want to pray, get my three times in, and I want God to take it away. I want God to fix it. I want God to make me better. I want a divine healing. I'd much rather get up and give a testimony about Christ's divine, miraculous healing than I would him say, no, not this time, at least not for a while. What I want to accomplish in you is not physical healing. What I want to accomplish in you is something spiritual. I want something spiritual to happen in your life. So God, number one, and the scripture supports this, is God wants to develop through trials our spiritual strength. What about this matter of being smarter? I don't know about you, but how many of you feel that maybe in America we need some help in this matter of just being a little smarter? Based on the results of the last few elections, I'm just wondering if we don't need a complete overhaul. Now, let me talk about common sense. Young people, listen to me. You know, I got to read this to you because someone sent it to me and I laughed about it. I don't print off most of this stuff. I read it, laugh, send it to my brother David, and then delete it usually, you know, so I can waste some of his time. They have a... This email got sent to me. It's called Idiot Sightings. How many of you believe we just need a revival of common sense in America? We're going to get to godly wisdom, but let's just talk about common sense. Here's one person's testimony. When my husband and I arrived at an automobile dealership to pick up our car, we were told the keys had been locked in it. We went to the service department and found a mechanic working feverishly to unlock the driver's side door. As I watched from the passenger side, I instinctively tried the door handle and discovered that it was unlocked. "Hey," I announced to the technician, "it's open." His reply, "I know, I already got that side." This testimony, we had to have the garage door repaired. The Sears repairman told us that one of the problems was that we did not have a large enough motor on the opener. I thought for a minute and said that we had the largest one Sears made at that time, a half horsepower. He shook his head and said, "Lady, you need a quarter horsepower." I responded that half was larger than quarter. He said, "No, it's not. Four is larger than two." Amen. We need a revival and just being smarter. How about this one? My daughter and I went through the McDonald's takeout window and I gave the clerk a $5 bill. Our total was $4.25, so I also handed her a quarter. She said, "You gave me too much money." I said, "Yes, I know, but this way you can just give me a dollar bill back." She sighed and went to get the manager, who asked me to repeat my request. I did so, and he handed me back the quarter and said, "Sorry, but we could not do that kind of a thing." The clerk then proceeded to give me back $1.75. This person wrote this, Kingsman, Kansas. He says this, "I live in a semi-rural area. We recently had a new neighbor call the local township administrative office to request the removal of the deer crossing sign on our road. The reason? Too many deer are being hit by cars out here. I don't think this is a good place for them to be crossing anymore." Help us. My daughter went to the local Taco Bell and ordered a taco. She asked the person behind the counter for minimal lettuce. He said he was sorry, but they only had iceberg lettuce. Tanya's not in here, is she? That's good. That's going to save Greg most of the afternoon. Amen. I was at the airport checking in at the gate when an airport employee asked, "Has anyone put anything in your baggage without your knowledge?" To which I replied, "If it was without my knowledge, how would I know?" He got frustrated, shook his head, and said, "You have to answer yes or no." Stoplight on the corner buzzes when it's safe to cross the road. I was crossing with an intellectually challenged coworker of mine. She asked if I knew what the buzzer was for. I explained that it signals blind people when the light is red. Appalled, she responded, "What on earth are blind people doing driving?" This may be my favorite one here. Very short. And then we'll go on to preaching. idiot sighting. I worked with an individual who plugged her power strip back into itself, and for the sake of her, she couldn't understand why the system would not turn on. Stronger, smarter, sweeter. Stronger, smarter, sweeter. Now, you know why the Lord sends trials sometimes or allows trials sometimes to come into our life? Because he's trying to replace the wisdom of men with the wisdom of God. Now, it's interesting how Paul reacted in verse number 8. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Now, that's what Paul wanted. He's like me. He just wanted a quick fix so he could get on with what he wanted to do. But notice what the Bible says, that first phrase in verse 9. "And he said unto me." You know, instead of God giving him what he asked for, God wanted to teach him something. God wanted to teach him something. You see, I just want the thorn removed, but God wants my wisdom increased. And so a lot of times what God does is he allows trials into our life, first of all, so that we can learn how to rely on his strength instead of our strength, so that we can begin to glean his wisdom instead of our wisdom. And then let me hasten to number 3, sweeter, sweeter. This is not talking about circumstantial happiness, but supernatural joy. And Paul's reaction was a right reaction. He said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory." Then he went on to say, "Therefore, I take pleasure." Paul truly learned what he would later write as instruction to the Philippian church: "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice." So God is trying to teach us several things by allowing trials to come into our life. Hebrews chapter 12. Folks, let me just say this. God sends trials into your life. He wants you to become stronger, smarter, sweeter. And sometimes instead of being sweeter, we become bitter. And boy, that's something we've got to watch. Hebrews 12 verse 11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." This is why I said earlier, you have to let these things happen. You have to let these things come to fruition in your life. "Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." "Preacher, I'm going through a trial." Well, God has a plan. I asked him, and I've asked special prayer, and I've sent a prayer request to the platform. Come on, preacher, what's going on? Why can't this just be resolved? Because God doesn't always send trials just to teach us that he answers prayers. Sometimes he sends trials so that we'll become stronger and smarter and sweeter. I want to say this, hasten to say it, listen to this. Devil has a different desire for your life. He wants to take the trials of life to make you weaker, more foolish, and bitter. Weaker, more foolish, and bitter. Notice, if you will, verse 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Isn't it interesting that even though Paul's was a physical infirmity, that he goes ahead and applies these to 5 specific areas of our life? And I'm not going to take any amount of time with these 5, what I do want to give them to you is like a checklist this morning. And I want you to imagine you've got in front of you a 3x5 card, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and beside it there's 2 boxes, one that says yes above them and one that says no. I'm going to give you the situation, and if it's going on right now in your life, mark yes. If not, mark no. But I would be surprised if anybody in this room, at the end of it, if we actually did this, we'd turn in a card that had 5 no's. It's amazing how God seems to always, while we're on the potter's wheel, be doing something in our lives to try to form us, to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. That is not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing in our life. Let's cover these things this morning. Number one. Now remember, you're going to mark yes or no. The first one he lists here in chapter 12, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. That means feebleness of body or mind. Amen. By implication, a malady, a frailty, a disease, an infirmity, a sickness, or a weakness. Sometimes God allows the trial to come as a physical trial. Something that sets us back physically. I'm talking about something that attacks this mortal flesh. Are you going through an infirmity? Are you going through a feebleness of body or mind? Are you fighting off a sickness, a physical weakness, some type of a disease? Why, preacher? I am, and it's wearing me down, and I'm tired, and I've prayed. Why am I going through this? He wants to make you stronger and smarter and sweeter. Let's go to number two. The second one he lists is reproaches. That comes from the word insolence or insult or injury, harm, hurt, reproach. That's talking about when somebody in some way attacks you. There is a human influence or a satanic influence, and you are literally a target of somebody's insolence, of somebody's insults. In some way, somebody has injured you or is trying to injure you or harm you or hurt you or bringing reproaches against you. Now, you can check yes or you can check no. Say, preacher, why is that thorn being allowed in my life? Because God's wanting to help you to become stronger and smarter and sweeter. Stronger and smarter and sweeter. He said, okay, preacher, so far I've got two no's. What's the third one, all right? How about necessities? Necessities. You know, that is talking about distress. Distress because of a specific need. It's talking about that we have something that we're needful of. Something that in some area of our life we've been constrained from having that we really need. It's talking about a need of life. You know what? Sometimes God allows in our lives specific needs. Now, wait a minute, folks. Please think about these things. Too many times we're faced with a need, so what we want to do is circumvent that need by going out and doing something foolish financially so that we can fill that need instead of understanding that maybe God brought that need into our life because he wants us to become stronger and smarter and sweeter. Number four, persecutions. That's the next one that's listed. That means this, to pursue after, to press, to make, to suffer, to persecute. Preacher, I just feel like that on some level. Now, reproaches, I think, would come along more along the line of human activity. Persecutions, I think, in this setting, lines up more along the spiritual areas of warfare. Preacher, I will just tell you, I'm kind of in the midst of what I feel like is a spiritual battle in my life. It's good that you're aware of that, and everyone's going to face that. And you know what? You better understand what's going on, because if you're not careful, you'll become weaker, you'll become foolish, and you'll become bitter. But that is not why God is allowing that to come into your life. The last one is distresses. Think about this. That word means calamity. A calamity. This isn't just a little aggravation. This is a life calamity. It's talking about anguish. It's talking about distress. I'm talking about one of those gut shot situations that come into your life. And I mean, it absolutely levels you. All of a sudden, it puts everything on hold. You know what? It's all encompassing. I mean, you have been knocked to the ground by one of Satan's 2x4s, and you're just kind of laying there. Preacher, what's going on in my life? God wants you to become stronger and smarter and sweeter. If you're fighting an infirmity, let me say this. Let it make you stronger in the Lord, smarter, seek the wisdom of God, sweeter. Do not become bitter at God or bitter at people because this is going on in your life. But people are trying to injure me. Then, okay, are you going to become weak and foolish and bitter, or are you going to become stronger and smarter and sweeter? But preacher, I have a need in my life, and I've prayed about it, and the deadline's come, and it's passed, and what is wrong with God? Maybe God's not so interested in meeting that need as he is in making you stronger and smarter and sweeter. Preacher, I just feel like that the demons of hell they've got my address. They've got my ID. I mean, I think they're prancing and parading around our house. I feel like I'm under siege sometimes. And God says, sometimes I let that happen, but I want you to become stronger and smarter and sweeter. Preacher, I'm still dealing with the after effects of a calamity in my life. Listen, Satan wants you to become weak and foolish and bitter, but God wants you to become stronger and smarter and sweeter. I just wanted to kind of take this morning and throw a little life preserver of hope out to some of you that are going through some tough times. It's not going to make, this one sermon is not going to make your life instantly easier, and it may not even remove one thorn out of your life. But it's the type of sermon that God sends a preacher to the pulpit every once in a while to just kind of give you a little spiritual pep talk and say, hang in there, it ain't over till it's over. You're not going to have to live there forever. God's doing something. Hey, God's still in control. Satan hasn't stormed heaven and taken over control of the universe. God's still in charge. God's still got a handle on things. Well, preacher, I don't know what's going on. We don't always have to know what's going on. Sometimes it's just enough for us to know that God knows what's going on. But I wanted to tell you that this morning. And I want you to let it work the fruit in your life that he wants it to work. Because the trials of life, when the Christian allows it to do the things that God wants it to do, that Christian grows. That Christian comes out the other side better, comes out stronger and smarter and sweeter than they were before. And so let's pray one for another. Let's encourage one another. Let's be aware of church members in our midst that are going through real challenges and real valleys. And let's just kind of, can we do this during the month of February? Can we just maybe just be a little bit stronger for somebody that's maybe not as strong right now? And maybe a little bit smarter for someone who's struggling a little bit with decisions right now? And maybe we could just be a little bit sweeter for everybody? Because as Brother Howes used to say at the end of his broadcast, you know what? Be kind to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, that you'd take this portion of Scripture and you would help each and every one, Lord, who's going through maybe a specific time of testing and trial in their life. Lord, come to them during this time with the wisdom that you would want them to learn. Come to them, Lord, with that divine strength that so often, Lord, we need to have carry us through times where we're just weak. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that you wouldn't let that root of bitterness spring up in our hearts. Help us not to become bitter, Lord, but to become sweeter as you continue as the potter to mold the clay on the wheel. We pray these things in Jesus' name.